cliffcentral.com.
Tell me that on St. Patrick's Day, with a lot of booze in you, you don't want to sing that at karaoke.
Ah, that is an Otis Redding Jr. original.
Sung by the Commitments, who were drunk a lot of the time, fighting with each other.
What a
great movie that was, The Commitments. If you want to watch something this weekend as part of the whole Irish thing, music's great, characters are raw, really, really good movie.
Yeah, maybe ask people that like 10 p.m. tonight on St. Paddy's Day, because they'll be, you know, a bit on the Guinness train, so they'll be able to say it's a great idea.
It's a lovely idea, this whole St. Patrick's Day, but we live in Africa. It's hot. Guinness, not a great summer drink.
Mm-mm.
You try have five or six of those and tell me how you feel.
Ooh.
Right, Smubs, what is going on in this world on this Friday?
Okay,
in March?
So turns out that there is, and has been for quite some time, a secret code word for when the queen dies.
What?
Yes.
She can die?
I mean, it's very hard to believe because, you know, she is what, like on a record breaking 65 years on the throne. So I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't blame you, Ben, for thinking that this woman is never going to die. But yes, she will eventually pass on. And there's like a whole, you know, protocols thing that gets observed when it comes to breaking the news, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So back in 1952, when King George the Sixth, when King George the Sixth, just gotta check these things. When he passed away back in 1952, he died at 7:30 a.m. and the news was not broadcast until 11:15 a.m. But in the world of Twitter, you know very well that things are going to happen a lot quicker when the Queen dies.
So, it would. But then again, who's going to be tweeting? It's not going to be Charles, is it?
Okay, no. So here's the whole protocols thing that gets observed. So the first, after the family, obviously, to be informed will be the Prime Minister. Whether woken up or asleep, they will simply be told that, quote, London Bridge is down.
Oh, grow up. A woman has died. This isn't a Black Hawk Down.
Do they have
queen.
To be so corny as well?
London Bridge is down. In fact, back in 1952, when George keeled over, the code word then was Hyde Park Corner. That was the code word that they used back then. So this is what they do. They have these things, right? After the Prime Minister is told, the wider Commonwealth will then be notified. These are the countries where the Queen is still a figurehead. So, you know, but Australia, so those weird places. They're going to be notified next. Then it will be rolled down to the media. The Press Association will fire out a message to the world media.
All right.
The tweets and Facebook posts are likely to be the first to break the news. And then the on-air media will then pick it up immediately after that. The BBC has the Radio Alert Transmission System, or RATS. It's something that the broadcaster has had since the Cold War. Commercial radio stations have a blue flashing light for the situation and will immediately play inoffensive music before jumping to the news.
Inoffensive
to break
music.
The story.
What? A little bit of slight harp music.
You can't be
the
playing
Commitments, whatever.
Yeah, you can't be playing, you know, to the window,
that,
to the wall,
yes,
till the sweat drips from my balls, and then in breaking news, the Queen has died.
Oh, shame.
Okay, so they will have to play inoffensive music before jumping to the breaking news story.
What, do they play the Downton Abbey theme tune, probably?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they have finalized it to that kind of detail where they have a whole playlist. For the day that the Queen dies. Newsreaders, this is now obviously in England, newsreaders will be required to wear black clothes.
Is this an immediate thing?
Well, yes. It's for when the news breaks. So when it's broken by the news anchor, they'll have to do it in black clothing, and they'll probably be required to wear black for some time after that.
Like in Victorian times, when all these people, you had to like mourn for months, apparently. If someone died, it was such a massive inconvenience because you had to dress like Sia for like 6 months.
That's why I'm always ready for the Queen.
Are you always
I'm
in mourning,
just being
Sia?
Very respectful.
Always in mourning.
Well, I get like the mourning period, but like to break the news, that means if you are at the office already, and you hear, oh my goodness, in 30 seconds, we need to go live and break this news. And then what do you do? Where do you go?
Well,
to
get black clothes. They probably have backup outfits lined up and ready.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Everyone always like,
everybody's
on their toes for this.
Everybody's always ready. Look, when Madiba passed, because this was still back in my ENCA days, they had constructed a special Madiba news set, and that set remained behind like a black curtain, ready and waiting for when the day eventually came. And then when the news broke, they then shifted to that set.
Hold up. So when Madiba was sick,
when it was still during the in and out of hospital period,
but the set was built.
Oh no, the set was already ready for a long time.
And for the premise
that happens everywhere in the world.
Yes. Like how newspapers are already chronicling, you know, and catching. They probably have like a Desmond Tutu.
Yeah, they'll have,
edition ready.
I mean, they'll already have clips lined up ready for the day when the Queen dies, that they know these clips will need to be rolled out on the day. They've got that, you know, filed and saved, ready and waiting in a safe place somewhere. It's just standard procedure.
Wow. like kind of morbid.
Yeah,
well, when London Bridge falls, that's what happens.
When London Bridge is down.
All I can think of is like, what are the little kids, baby George and his sister, can't now sing the nursery rhyme London Bridge in the palace? They'll just be, you know, skipping along the corridors. London Bridge is that Next thing in news is rolled.
They really should have thought of that.
Yeah, they can't.
And then part of the becomes, you know, a little bit less morbid and a little bit more exciting is, of course, what happens to the royals. So Charles then obviously becomes king. Mm-hmm. Prince William, who is currently the Duke of Cambridge, will be the new Prince of Wales, with Kate becoming the Princess of Wales, a title which once belonged to Diana. Shame they didn't even bother to write about Harry here. What does Harry become? Does he become anything?
I don't think so.
I mean,
I just think he becomes an extra on Suits. That's pretty much the only thing. It's the only thing you can add to his status right now.
The Queen will then lie in state for 23 hours a day until the funeral. Her body will be in Westminster Hall, open to the public for 12 days. So people will be able to go and see her.
Wow.
I know your answer to this question, but Mabuse, would you ever want a fuss made about you?
Mm-mm.
Me either.
And you see, this is what I was going to ask next. Imagine knowing exactly to the detail what's going to happen the day you die.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably had to have meetings with the Queen where they were like, ma'am,
you're right. Yeah.
Would you approve if A, B, C, D? And then she'd have to say yes or no. I mean, it's just bizarre. She knows exactly what will happen the day that she dies.
She would have to be privy to all these information.
Yeah, she'd have had to approve certain things. Oh, like, I don't know.
It's like the opposite of planning. Comforting to you guys.
That what?
To at least have a hand in planning what will happen when you die.
Yeah, you die, you die.
Yeah. I mean, who cares what happens after you die? You're no longer there.
Okay, well, Sia, what would your code phrase be when you die?
The spotlight has been turned off.
Oh my God.
That's what it is. Because I always say, I won't die. I'll just make a dramatic exit.
I know.
Yeah. The spotlight has been turned off. Then like, okay, kick into action. Confetti machines, confetti guns are turned, you know, like blown off. I haven't really thought of like the actual specifics, but I do know that I want to arrive late to my own funeral. That's like a given. At least like a good 20 minutes wait for people.
Sure. Okay, well, Ben is dead. What else is going on?
Shame. But I wonder then, in the same breath, they have to, but at the same time, they can't. They have to have some sort of preparation for all the royals. So even though Harry's still young, but I'm pretty certain there's some sort of planning if he does have a sudden death, you know? Even I don't think it's as extensive as is for the Queen, because after all, A, she is old, so they can expect it, and B, though, she is the Queen, not just a royal in waiting. So, wow, that's a lot of effort for all of these people.
But now, also, I just have to know what happens with Camilla's life when the Queen dies.
Well, I mean, Charles is going to become king. What does that mean for Camilla?
Queen? Prince Philip.
Yeah.
Lizzie will come back from the dead and say, Camilla, you get the hell out of that seat. This is not happening.
I think she'll just be, what is she currently? Yeah, she'll be a duchess of something.
She's like a duchess of some sort of piece of land. Because, you know, the royals, they own all this land, right? Mm. So you just get given this title. Like if there's a spare acre somewhere, you know, if for instance, there's the royal family of Gauteng, it would be like, you could become like the duchess of, I don't know, this land by the Gautrand, Duchess of Midrand.
Yeah.
Strap a title there.
Mm.
Well, she's currently the Duchess of Cornwall, so I just assume that she'd be something bigger. So same thing, same as Prince William being bumped up into...
Well, okay, you know what?
You know what? Let's save this for when Gareth gets back.
This doesn't have to be complicated.
Guys, let's save it for when Gareth gets back. Because you know he'll love telling the story.
Because the queen's husband is the Duke of Edinburgh.
Yes.
So
and he's not the king.
The female version
of
who cares? It's the royals. They love titles. It gives them a hard on for whatever reason.
That was Adele being attacked by a mosquito in Australia.
Okay, so...
A whole mosquito, hey? Wow, her life was clearly in danger.
Well, probably her perception is just like, oh, mosquitoes equal malaria. So that's why she's just shrieking about. But Adele might be bordering on quarter two crazy. But I don't know. So it's just been released, or revealed rather, that Adele, and this is justified as her being very committed to putting on a show for her fans. You know, she's currently on tour and taking a concert around the world. You know, you perform in different arenas or stadiums, and you can have like a basic layout or structure for, you know, the actual show. Like, okay, you'll have a circular stage and, you know, you can use these entrances, but you can't exactly carbon copy certain things for every single venue. So case in point, she wants the audience to see her for the very first time as she pops up onto stage. You know, like it's a grand big reveal. Mm. Not like, Adele is just walking up the stairs.
Mm.
And one of her reasons being the fact that, you know, she loves wearing great dresses, which is always a great thrill for her audience. And so no one is allowed to see her in her dress before she's actually on stage. So what does she do and how does she get to the stage? In some places when you can't exactly have like a private elevator that literally, you know, puts you on stage, she gets wheeled in a box. You know, one of those industrial crates where they carry equipment.
Uh-huh.
So literally from backstage, she'll get wheeled through the audience. And the audience doesn't know because literally it's just an industrial crate with no actual ventilation. And her only requirement is that she sits in that box with an iPad. So, you know, like these like six men pushing her around through the audience, all because she doesn't want to be seen in a dress. Like,
yeah, but that's how she used to go through her lunch break when she worked at Tesco.
Starving.
It's the same, really.
You know, I'm not even that surprised because, you know, artists have these weird things, these weird tendencies about them.
But I'm like, can't there be a budget near enough for a little window or something or classier actual box built for you, a little industrial crate? Well, anyway, yeah, in the midst of trying to curb mosquitoes, she's also trying to make sure that no one sees her dress, because heaven forbid if that happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, all part of the human life and all part of this little all our random antics. And sticking with that though, This is why there's some new developments at South by Southwest, and actually we can ask Gareth about this when he comes back.
Okay, we need to start making a list. So yeah, what happens we need to Camilla?
Notes.
What
yes.
happens here?
But this is actually an expert who spoke recently at South by Southwest, and he says humans will all become these sexy half robots by the year 2029.
Oh, we'll still be alive.
That's not far off, guys.
2029.
That's 12 years time.
Yeah.
Half robots, eh?
Exactly.
Which half?
Well, all in the brain. So he's Google's director of engineering, and you know, basically Google, you know, being a Google expert basically now means you're like God. His name is Ray Kurzweil, and he basically says we're closer to being half robots or robots in itself than we think, simply because of our addiction to our phones and how much we've incorporated technology in our lives already. So yep. Kurzweil says by 2029, computers will have human level intelligence. That leads to computers having human intelligence, our putting them inside our brains, connecting them to the cloud, expanding who we are. So today, that's just not a future scenario. It's here in part, and it's going to accelerate. So,
yeah, but they are this, yeah. I mean, humans, we know we are part of the machines already. Siri, can you rap?
Oh, man. Okay, here goes. I wrote this one myself. Apologies in advance to the Sugar Hill Gang.
What?
I said a hip hop, save me from the clippy, the peak, peak and pop and you don't stop. Space rocket, to the pom pom the doogie, say up jump the doozy, to the rhythm of the ontology.
See, I mean, I just interacted with my phone quite simply. It's all going to happen. And I keep telling you, from that Black Mirror show,
yeah.
We're going to get things in our eyes and then we're going to be able to like record things. We're going to be able to put like different knees and elbows and shoulder joints into ourselves. We're going to become semi-bionic.
See, already in 12 years' time, we could have like computers in our brains.
Yeah.
And this might seem like a lot, might just seem like conjecture right now. But when you look at Kurzweil's track record, so
good
he's
point.
Been making predictions like this since like the 1990s. And out of 147 predictions of future trends, 86% are actually correct.
Exactly. So when this guy says something, you pay attention. When Elon Musk says something, he's trying to get chicks. That's that's the difference, people.
Why don't you like Elon Musk?
I have nothing against that guy. I just... It's just funny.
Oh, no. So there we go. 12 years' time, folks. We could have... Imagine that. But then what does that mean for, like, a kid going to school? Or is there even a need to go to school? Because now I can just have information that I need to learn at school implanted into my cloud that goes straight into my brain.
Just like in The Matrix when he needed to learn Kung Fu to get before he got into a fight.
You just download it into your brain.
You just download all these abilities to become a better human, just like that.
Hold up. And then, whoa.
Like, wouldn't it be really cool that, you know, like, my buddy and I would just be downloaded with sport. We wouldn't even do prep. We just go zzzz. And all information.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm now taking that to a higher level. What does it mean for people who are scientists now? Like, you don't now need to spend 6 years in university to be a doctor when it can just take a 30-minute upload in your brain.
Sure, but then there'll be adaptation, like everything in history. You'll have to adapt in how you execute these things, how you implement these things. Knowledge, anyone can get knowledge, is how you apply things. So there'll still be, not everyone can just be, you know what, I'm going to be a scientist today, I'll be a doctor tomorrow, I'll be a neurosurgeon. No, because you're still going to be able to apply it. There's still going to have to be a functional aspect to all of this.
Wow.
But if Ray's saying it, then we're in.
12 years' time, guys. 12 years' time. I'd be very interested to, yeah, we should definitely ask Gareth because he had a whole talk about this at South by Southwest. So let's see what else he spoke about.
It's been quite funny seeing Gareth come back, right? Because he's going to be on this absolute high from being in Austin, Texas, South by Southwest, where virtual reality, this and all kinds of other stuff is going to be incredible. For the first week, he's going to be glowing and telling us stories. And then that second week, we're going to see this massive come down where he's going to be like some arsehole parked on the side of the highway. I had no power all of last night. He's just going to be back to square one. And you know what? When that moment happens, the three of us are going to look at each other and be like, yeah, there
you
is.
Go. It's happened.
So St. Patrick's Day, is it even Irish? this is a question that gets thrown around.
I mean, that's how it's been commercialized. Yeah,
I also thought so.
You all set for the parade?
Yeah, just finishing the makeup.
Cool. Did mine earlier.
That's the Ivory Coast flag.
No, green, white and orange. Ireland.
Yeah, but you're orange, white and green.
No, green, white and orange.
The mirror flips it.
Oh, I am the Ivory Coast.
Paul, check it out. It leaves the Ivory Coast.
No way. What an idiot.
You're the Indian flag.
Huh? No, I'm not, am I?
Oh, did you do yours in the mirror?
So these guys have painted their faces, right? Because a lot of flags are quite similar. They just got certain, they either vertical or horizontal. And so if you look at the Irish flag, it can be lots of many things.
Mm-hmm. As well.
You sure?
You got the chakra in the middle.
Oh, I'm the worst Irish person ever. Oh,
look, lads, don't worry about it. Sure, St. Patrick wasn't even Irish, was he?
What do you mean St. Patrick wasn't Irish?
Well, he was Welsh.
What? Then why is he our patron saint?
Because all the best Irish people aren't Irish. I mean, look at Jack Charlton.
He's Irish.
No, he's English.
Huh?
Yeah, and Michael Flatley as well.
He's the Lord of the Dance.
Yeah, he's American.
Michael Flatley? I thought he was as Irish as potatoes.
Potatoes? There's another one.
No, please, not potatoes.
They came from Peru in the 16th century.
Next you're going to tell me that begrudgery isn't even Irish.
Oh, it came with the Spanish Armada.
Oh, them and their big fancy ships.
This whole day is a sham.
This is St. Patrick's Day. It is our national holiday, and we will celebrate it properly, okay? Now, we're going to go out there, we're going to drink budget Polish beer, watch American marching bands, and set off Chinese fireworks, yeah?
Yeah!
Yeah, and if some former member of Boyzone waves at you from a convertible, you will wave back!
Yeah!
All right, come on!
Vive la Côte d'Ivoire!
Huh?
Go, Ireland!
What? But that's another lesson of where we're all such a mixed bag anyway. We're not one pure nation. There's so many different influences. We're all one just massive melting pot. Crayons, Smarties, call it what you want.
But what is now, so really, kind of culturally, how are we meant to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, really? Apart from
Day,
the drinking.
That's what it should be. We should just celebrate it in our ability as humans to get drunk. I know some people don't drink and they're very much against that. And they've had health issues and there's been psychological problems, all that kind of stuff. But let's just call it what it is. Today is a day where we should actually look into how great it is to be drunk.
Satan.
Don't take my word for it. Yeah. I'm a terrible role model. I should never be quoted, but hey, I think that's fair. Otherwise, we're just pulling hairs.
True.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just stick to celebrating International Wine Day. That's fine.
What's that? It's Friday.
Is that today?
No, well, it's on the 18th of Feb. Drink Wine Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all these days, I'm pretty sure. Give me a topic and I'm pretty certain we'll find a day dedicated to it. It's ridiculous. It's probably a toasted cheese day. I'm not even joking. Let's
go. Yeah, but see, the whole thing is that all you need to do to make one of these days is have a couple of blog posts around it. You can do that. We just need a blog. We can talk about it here. We can claim it. And then all we do is we just consistently talk about it every single year. And then, hey, presto, you've got the day.
Yeah, there we go. In a bit of like a month's time, Wednesday the 12th of April is Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
Okay, all right.
We can celebrate anything here. Does that mean we can get the days off?
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not sure. Who's the patron saint of grilled cheese? Did he have a big meaning?
Hey, I just want to celebrate, let's pay homage to this day. But hey, in the spirit of trying to take advantage of things, women in Burbank, California, beware. There is a man on the prowl. His name is Paul Gonzalez, and he's taking advantage of you through dating apps.
Oh,
okay.
Damn you.
Paul Gonzalez. Why? So Paul Gonzalez is like wooing women over, this would be like maybe Tinder. And they chat for a while. Then he says, like, yo, we should totally, like, meet for dinner. Or let's go for a date. And so far, there's been three women who have experienced the situation with Paul, where Paul rocks up, they go for dinner, they start eating and enjoying a meal. And halfway through, in one instance, Paul had to take a call, stepped up and out, and never returned. And
sounds very familiar.
So he's just getting free. He's what?
Yeah, just basically getting free dinners. That's what he's doing. But the reason why this is hilarious is because Paul now is taking this a step further and is actually being wanted by police because he's now stepping into, for example, he recently went to a hair salon to get a haircut. But the thing is, in the middle of his wash, Nochal, I don't know how people even left him leave with his, you know, the little, what's it called? You know, the little thing that's tied around you at a hair salon, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. He walked out with that. In the middle of like broad daylight in the hair salon, Paul walked out and didn't pay for anything.
This man is an animal.
Paul Gonzalez, I'm telling you.
Absolute monster.
So, yeah, like someone, he's... So I love that because it's like an official police report. They need witnesses and they need state, you know, they need evidence. And so one woman's retelling who got stood up. Well, it's not really being stood up by Paul, is it? When Paul just walked away in the middle of dinner and left you there?
No. He's just making sure that, you know, you're paying for the bill.
True.
That's all he's doing.
Well, I just love that this is a quote. The lady says, he left without saying anything and basically left a half-baked potato.
No.
Like, it's just, that's minute. Now...
Come on.
So he doesn't even finish his
meal. How rude. Never came back with a half-baked potato.
I guess he commits the bit by leaving some food behind, because if he were to finish all of his food and then get up, she'll be like, whoa, okay. Okay, this guy's got a mission here.
Oh my goodness. Well, I love that literally this Paul Gonzalez guy, there's a wanted picture and the only picture they have of him is like him caught on CCTV footage in the hair salon. So, hey, Paul Gonzalez, if you know of Paul Gonzalez's whereabouts, please let the Burbank police know.
Well, talking dating, you know, because Gareth's been away, I've been looking a lot more on the internet.
Because
finding stories and things. You know?
Oh yeah, I thought there was a correlation, like because Gareth has gone and had to go
fill the void. Fill the void in my heart. So you know, you always hear these stories about Tinder dates that have gone wrong, right?
Yes,
and there are quite a few. Tinder is you know, it's quite simple, really. You go on there, you find people you can try get a match with, and you try, well, essentially hook up and carry on like that. So there's a story I found where this girl meets this guy. Everything seems to be pretty interesting. Date goes really, really well. It leads to going back to his place, and it leads to sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
First night out. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, so far sounds like just a...
That's a one-night stand.
Average night. Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing leads to another. And I mean, look, I don't know if this is common practice nowadays in the dating world, but she... And he, I guess I got to use technical terms here, not sound too crass, but he ejaculated.
Okay.
On her chest and face region.
Okay.
All right.
Now, that could happen in any story, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Next day, she's got a rash.
Stop.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sis.
So, in the heat of the moment, you think, well, you know, it's... Yep, cool, whatever, this is all going great. And then the next morning you wake up and you got a bad rash.
Oh, no.
And when you think of the areas it covers,
it's
invasive. So she messages the guy, okay, and says, look, I've got a bit of a bad rash, I thought I'd let you know. Because she's thinking STD, right?
Yes.
So
something's wrong with your spunk.
This isn't so good, okay? But yeah. Hey, the date went well. She's not really like, I mean, she's obviously really upset about this. This is not good, but like it was a good date. So she's not trying to think too much about that. So she goes to the doctor, and the doctor goes, I don't know. I mean, it's not an STD. It's something that I've seen before. Probably best to go to a dermatologist, right? Because dermatologists, obviously skin experts, whatever.
Mm.
Dermatologist then examines her. She's now a little bit worried because it didn't happen with the doctor. The doctor couldn't give her the information. So now she's been referred. This is getting worse. This is getting deeper.
And every single consulting room she needs to walk into, she needs to explain her story again.
She's going to explain her story, exactly. Of
and more judgment.
Of
yes.
Rash caused by male ejaculate. Anyway, so the dermatologist said, look, I don't know how to really say this, but it's a very specific sort of parasite that's now got onto your skin. Okay, well, this is where the story starts to get a little bit edgy. So hold on to your chairs for this one.
Please, if you're talking about germs and parasites. And
so basically, there's a slight parasite that's caught, and it's now sort of, I wouldn't say invaded her, but it's become part of her skin. Because, you know, you get different skin layers, epithelial tissues or whatever it is. And the guy said, look, there are two things that could happen here about the male in question, okay?
Uh-huh.
It comes back to the male ejaculate. And he said to the, you know, do you know this guy well? And she said, no, we literally had a date. First time I met him, this happened. It's all I know. So he said, well, look, it's a very extreme case because your rash basically is a result of the male in question here having sex with.
No. With animals.
I know, I was also going there. No, please don't wait. Ooh.
Yeah, sex with animals.
No.
Or dead people.
No.
So, but the whole thing is there is a bit of a recall here because it was a Tinder date. So she finds the guy on Facebook, and then she finds out that he works at
a mortuary. No.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And the best part about all of this is one massive urban legend. Thankfully.
Damn you, Ben!
No, if you go on the internet, right, this story is everywhere.
Oh my god!
You can find this story about this guy. Okay, firstly, for medical purposes, it's not physically possible. If this guy had parasites in his penis area / semen, it wouldn't be so great for him. It wouldn't be one of those things that it just miraculously takes on the host thing. But this urban legend that came out in February, that was going all over, became a big viral thing.
Wow.
It is said to be rooted back all the way to 2001.
What?
Jeez.
Which then gets me thinking, right? Urban legends. How many of these things exist in life that we've taken as a given over time?
Yeah.
You know, yesterday we talked about how Listerine essentially invented halitosis. No, the word halitosis didn't exist until a company wanted to make more money.
What they offer, which is fresh breath.
Completely manufactured. So they were a company that did cleaning products for floors and stuff. And they thought, okay, well, we've got similar ingredients. Let's put them in the mouth and make everyone feel really hygienic.
Yeah.
So the story I just told you now, first time I heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, we hear stories kind of like this. It's so believable, right?
Yes.
And we all believe it. What else is there that people believe is now being taken as a given?
Oh my goodness.
But now this story about the having sex with dead people, rotting semen, all that kind of stuff. It goes back to like 2001, and it was about cannibalism as well.
Why did you take us in such a riot?
There were a lot of urban legends around spring break, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, some people go and they do all kinds of things, either Cancun, Florida, Mexico area, right? Mm-hmm. So all these urban legends started to happen where people were hooking up with local people from these areas, right? Mm. So there would be so many stories circulating. I mean, this is sort of, yeah, so 10 years ago, let's just say, about how people, these girls were kissing these guys. And suddenly they got back to America and they had these horrible sores around their face. And then they were like, well, then I went to my doctor and my doctor told me it was because they're cannibals. It's because they've been eating human flesh. You've now got these sores on them, on your mouth.
Jeez, we don't even know the half of it.
But it's kind of believable, though.
Yeah, it is believable. Yeah, because as you were telling the first story, I was like, oh, maybe she's like allergic to semen. Like, maybe that's it. And then it gets to like the dead people. I'm way too gullible. I believe everything. You know, but we live in that day and age, the day and age now of like, you know, those broadcast messages and people just like forward things, you know, with not even actual placing some thought to it. So who knows what we're really believing?
Exactly. So you got to cross check. I heard the story. I thought, I guess this is ridiculous. I'm going to try find a source for it. And after 5 minutes, I found it was obviously, urban legends.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just regurgitate every story you hear. Although that was a pretty good story.
That was
a horrible, scary story.
And you know, like if I still heard that, yeah, no, that's believable to me though. I do feel like that's highly, highly possible. I'm not about that life at all. Because now I was instantly thinking, oh, shucks, now we have to really do like thorough Facebook checks of people we go on dates with, because where will they be and where do they work?
And then like, you know, kinky sex in the first night, who knows what could get out of it? Anyway, enough about that.
Well, silver lining, a word kind of settle for someone who works with corpses and with animals. Just putting it out there. That's
But because that's of urban legends wrong. Like this, and you meet someone, just a decent person who just happens to work in a morgue, you go, ooh.
Yeah, you're not going to look at them straight.
Your semen's getting nowhere near me.
That is totally fine. That's absolutely what I'll do.
It's going to message, hey guys, it's my birthday today. Yeehaw. Going to see Blue Man Group and get shit-faced later. Lekker. Thanks for the good show. You guys aren't too bad without Gareth. Well, strange number. You aren't too bad either.
And happy birthday.
Oh, they didn't put their name on there. Happy birthday.
Let's go with Gerald. Happy birthday, Gerald.
How did you just... How did you settle on Gerald exactly? Just gives you a Gerald vibe.
Not sure. Not sure.
One of those. It's fine.
Okay, right. What else we got?
Pornhub. We love Pornhub because they give us porn, right? I mean, who can complain about that? But seemingly Pornhub have been branching out into different avenues where, you know, their business is becoming more about porn. So apparently they also have a sex education blog. Ooh, I didn't know this. Oh. Which apparently is needed given that research has found people's perceptions of sex in real life change after watching porn. Porn ruins a lot of things about real life sex, right? Sure. So they've also got a sex education blog. And then apparently they also got a little bit philanthropic recently when, news headlines in the United States, they dealt with very severe snowstorms in Boston and New Jersey. And so, you know, Pornhub, the vice president, Corey Price, said that, well, the Pornhub team understands that by this time of the year, most cities have run up their budget in snow removal. So they also have this initiative where they apparently donate or sponsor plows that go into the streets and remove the heavy layers of snow.
Did it have to be plows, though?
It's a snow.
Ooh, they plow the roads.
It's a snow plow.
Brought to you by Pornhub. What's next?
They're gonna... it's actually branded Pornhub, the snow plow.
Yeah, what's next? Are they going to donate hose as well?
Well, no, Sia. What they've done next, and they apparently launched this yesterday because it was National Panda Day in that part of the world. They have now, I guess, coined a new style of sex. So you've heard doggy style, right? Well, now, thanks to Pornhub, there's also panda style.
What's that?
It was launched in association with National Panda Day. Users of Pornhub were asked to suit up in panda costumes or makeup and then film themselves fornicating as pandas. Because, you know, it's all about, making sure that, you know, certain groups of animals don't die out too soon. It's that whole initiative. Pandas reach their sexual maturity age fairly quickly, meaning that they don't frequently mate and the birth rate is low. So the number of pandas in the world, you know, getting even lower and lower. So it's that whole initiative. So, you know, Pornhub thought, to create awareness or that kind of thing, we'll coin a new style of sex. It's panda style. And yeah, people got to submit their videos dressed up as pandas, basically having sex like pandas.
You just keep doing what you do, Japan. just keep at it.
Now, I have two things with this story.
Okay, go ahead.
Firstly, you know, I get at the end of the day that Pornhub is a business and I'm pretty certain they go into the office with shirts on and ties and they aren't all freaks. But there is still a side of me that just thinks they're all freaky deaky. So it's probably someone they're sitting around a boardroom and I'm sure it's like dimly lit. They're like, what's next? And like someone has a little panda fetish and they're like, oh, let's just pretend to care about pandas so that they can get off on this. Because like, secondly,
but
you know,
some people are already doing that behind closed doors. Yeah.
No, now he just wants a lot more people to do it so that he can get more of these submissions.
Yeah, but I mean, you do it once in your life. You dress up as a panda and you fornicate and then it's done.
But why
is that harmful?
But doesn't this fall into Furbies or something?
Yes, that's what I was getting to. There are people who get turned on.
Why are you getting us into your turned on nation?
Yeah, it's
no.
It's fun. It's funny. It's harmless. It's marketing. You know, it's also some other kind of initiative, which is what Pornhub seem to be getting into. They actually have a Pornhub Cares initiative.
Yeah, I just feel like it's all just okay. spin so for, that they can get off on their fetish.
Sorry?
For porn addicts.
No.
See, they right now, it's just about saying like, oh, they care about pandas and they're worried about, someone just wants to get off on seeing more people.
Yeah, but you know, the irony.
Dressed up as pandas.
The irony is pandas have some of the lowest sex drives in nature.
Yeah, that's why they have such low birth rates,
yeah.
and why they aren't, you know, they don't breed like rabbits, for example.
You see, but it's just like there was a hashtag earlier this week, something along the lines of "Show us your feet" or "Tweet pic your feet."
Why?
I'm like, that was, I don't know, like, you know, people have like ugly feet and could be like this pretty girl, but then she shows us her feet and it's like nasty. I just think that was
really
also like a little
Christina Aguilera.
Which is still debatable in that beautiful music video. But I still just think it was a little freak somewhere who goes like, oh, I want to see more people's feet. Like, oh, no, I don't even want to think of it that way. It's so weird. So, so weird.
You know what else is really weird? The idea of Matthew Perry and Justin Trudeau having a fight. You know, Justin, Gareth was causing that fuckboy from Canada.
Yeah, it's that people just go crazy over.
Matthew Perry was the washed out drunk from Friends.
Oh, yes.
Wait, they're having a fight?
No, well, apparently they were in school together.
How are you, sir? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well.
Here he is talking to Jimmy, insert last name.
Fellow Canadian, will you consider yourself fully Canadian?
I'm sort of half.
Half Canadian.
Yeah.
Because this guy has burnt both candles on every end. Whatever candle he's gotten in life, Matthew Perry has burnt it.
It's half and half. Well, perfect. Get over here.
Between us, we make a full American.
Yeah. Some bald guy.
And you, by the way, this is an interesting thing I learned about you. I did not know this. The Prime Minister, the current Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, somebody you went to school with.
I did. I was a couple years ahead of him.
Okay. How old were you at this time?
Fifth grade, so whatever age you are in fifth grade.
Okay, and do you remember, 10 probably, do 10? You remember him around school?
I do. I have a story about him that I'm not proud of.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah.
I was reminded of this, my friend Chris Murray, who was also in the fifth grade in Canada, reminded me that we actually beat up Justin Trudeau.
You beat him up?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
The two of you beat him up?
We both beat him up. And I think he was excelling in a sport that we weren't so it was pure jealousy.
I see.
And we beat him up.
And his dad was the Prime Minister of Canada.
His dad was the Prime Minister
at that time, right?
I don't think that's the reason we beat him up. I think he was the only kid in school that we could beat up.
Don't they have Secret Service there protecting the children of their prime ministers?
They didn't.
They didn't. Wow. Because that would never happen to Barron Trump. You'd be in the stockade right now. You'd be in,
it's true.
You'd be in Russia somewhere.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm not bragging about this. It's terrible. I was a stupid kid and I didn't want to beat him up. In fact, I think at one point I tried to turn it into love play.
Well, he is a handsome guy.
Yeah, boy, is he ever.
Yeah.
But I think it was rather instrumental in him going to such great heights and becoming the prime minister.
You feel that way?
Yeah, I think it was, I think he said, I'm going to rise above this.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to become prime minister.
I'm going to destroy those two boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Perry and Murray,
he
who
rose
beat
above
me.
Both of us,
Yeah. Wow, that's something else. That's really, do you ever...
Maybe Matthew Perry's been drunk so often in his life that his mouth has now gotten into that position where he knows he's going to slur. Certain words he just said.
Yeah, he's had serious addiction issues throughout his life. That's why he looks as terrible as he does now.
But what is love play? Should you be talking about having love play with a small boy? Even if you were...
He was also a small boy as well.
Yeah, but he's trying to tone down the fact that he was beating him up, turning into love play. Look, if I was Justin Trudeau, I would have carried on with the beating, please.
Isn't love play just like...
Who knows what they're doing? Who knows what they do in Canada?
Let's not even try to.
Who knows what happens in Canada?
But I think what makes it worse, when we look at talking about Matthew Perry's looks, what makes it worse is that we're constantly still seeing his look from 20 years ago with all the Friends reruns and.
Which are completely timeless and I still watch them.
You see, that's the thing. We still see him as this guy, 15, 20 years ago.
No, that's not it. He has aged terribly because his other cast members all look fine. Jennifer Aniston looks great.
It's because they're still working.
Cox doesn't.
Yeah. Well, she had way too much plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And she even admitted as much.
David Schwimmer doesn't look terrible.
Yeah, I think he looks the most like gradual, natural look of all of them.
Mm. No, Matthew Perry had serious addictions that he battled with, and that stuff also takes a toll on you physically.
Shucks. Yeah, Lisa Kudrow still, nothing amazing, just eight.
Just got a very disturbing message by the definition of a rainbow kiss. Mm-hmm. I don't know who sent this through. You're sick.
Whoever sent this.
I don't know. I don't think I've got the stomach to actually tell you what a rainbow kiss is this morning. We've had a pretty good morning. I'm not going to go into it.
You were the one who talking about rashes after some ejaculation. So
look, I mean, pretty much that is the pinnacle of my stories. Thanks for the definition of rainbow kiss. You can look it up in your own time.
Wait, but when did we bring up right?
No one brought it up except this message just come through, and then it appears to be Sam's birthday today. So happy birthday, Sam! Sam sent in a really big picture.
Oh, that's the one who's going on a
looking ready for the Friday. Hand. Yeah.
Oh, Sam! I wish I'd look like you this hour of
that's
the day.
Sam. Sam looks fresh, huh? Mm. Sam looks like she's going to have a good day, and I like the three of us.
Ooh, love your hair color as well. It's like this grayy, two-tony pixie cut. I'm here for that party. Anyway, okay, moving on. Here's another bizarre story. Hey, remember those good old days of the Power Rangers and how great that series was and how we all absolutely loved them?
Yes, yes. Wait.
What is like your go-to series when you were growing up? Because I grew up on like the Power Rangers, action figures, everything. You were on the Gummy Bears.
Yeah.
Oh, Gummy Bears.
They were the Power Rangers before Violent Times, yeah.
What is it like kryptonite? They ate cherries or cherry juice.
They made this juice which basically had ephedrine in it.
Basically, syrup.
Yeah. They were just basically addicted to syrup. That's what the gummy bears were. It's been revealed.
And they started bouncing around. What is yours?
I'm the last one at home, and a lot of the time I ended up watching stuff that my older siblings were watching because I had no say.
Yeah.
So I remember stuff like Biker Mice from Mars because my brother was into that. There was Bionic Six. There was Captain Planet as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the stuff I remember.
Well, this has sort of ruined my childhood now because the star behind the Red Power Ranger in the series is Ricardo Medina. He's now 38 years old, has pled guilty to killing his roommate with a samurai sword.
That's bold. I mean, it really is. We've heard a couple of stories like this before.
No shame.
I mean, this is where you think you're a ninja, right? This is where you have passed the level of normal.
You live too much in your character, even though you haven't played this character for years. That's the problem. So 38 Medina lives in Green Valley, California, best known for playing Cole Evans, a.k.a. the Red Power Ranger and Power Rangers Wild Force, pleaded on Thursday guilty to manslaughter in the stabbing death of his roommate back in 2015. And he used a samurai sword to commit the crime. Question: where does one even get a samurai sword? And second question, why do you even need to do that? What did your... So this trial has been going on.
You can buy a sword. I mean, you can go into a shopping center and go to one of those kind of weapons shops. It's easy to get.
See, that's when sometimes I think I should have become a judge, because I think I wouldn't been able to give harsher and more just sentences for more people. I think it says something extra about stabbing someone with like a butter knife and stabbing them with a samurai sword. Like, you could have killed your roommate just like spur of the moment, so angry, and you stab, versus opting for this dramatic situation with the samurai sword. He probably like said something like, "Red Power Ranger, power up."
He probably did.
He
probably watched a whole episode before that.
I would have bumped up the number of years he's spending in prison because of that. So originally he was going to face 26 years to life in prison if he was convicted, but instead, due to his guilty plea, he will face, get this, 6 years.
No, that's not enough.
How's that normal?
How many years is that in Power Ranger years? No, look, if I mean, like obviously murder's murder, okay? Murder's murder. When you take another person's life, it's not only illegal, it's just a really dick thing to do.
Mm.
But if you've gone so far, you know, you talk about premeditated murder is the worst kind of murder. You know, the whole Oscar Pistorius trial is that they were trying to prove it was premeditated for to get the maximum sentence. When you go to a position where you want to murder someone as a Power Ranger, that isn't just premeditated. It is completely bizarre.
True.
Like, there should be extra years for that. There should be a landmark case. Power Ranger murder has the biggest sentence attached to it.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of even more sad, the fact that when you actually look at why he even did this, it was all supposedly, well, not even supposedly, that's what was revealed in court. It's all because of Medina and his 36-year-old roommate, Josh Sutter, engaging in an argument over Medina's girlfriend. So Medina claims he stabbed his roommate with his sword as an act of self-defense. Whatever. But during the hearing, prosecutors presented a 911 recording where you can hear Medina say after the attack, "Damn it, Josh, why did you do this, man? Why did you make me do this?" But it's ridiculous how still people will side with you. Case in point, Medina's father. Josh's father. Josh is the friend, the roommate who was killed, saying that Josh doesn't have it in his heart to attack anybody, which, you know, which I kind of believe.
That's like, just denial speaking.
No, this is the victim's father speaking up to it, because Medina is saying that this was a case of self-defense. And it's like, so there must have been a fight, even though it was about the girlfriend involved anyway. But the attorney also says, Medina's attorney says, it's a self-defense case. It's been a self-defense case. You have an individual here that was the victim of a beating in the kitchen area before he went to the bedroom and closed and locked the door in order to secure himself from any continuing violence. Please.
So what? He's going to prison? What did you?
Prison for 6 years, yes. So according to the LA County Sheriff's Department, Medina and his girlfriend went into his bedroom during an argument, but Josh forced his way into the room. Medina then stabbed him with the sword he kept near his bedroom door. So, well, that red Power Ranger is powering out for the next 6 years in prison.
Good. Because quite a shit story going to prison with. What'd you do? Power Ranger shit.
With a samurai sword.
Yeah, he's going to do well with that.
See, next thing we're going to find out, one of the Twilight actors have bitten someone.
Well, can you see how fat that guy got?
Which guy?
The guy that was the
werewolf or the vampire? Werewolf?
The guy that was the werewolf.
That's Taylor Lautner.
Jeez, he's packed out, huh?
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
He's been biting people. He's been biting hamburgers for sure.
Is it maybe for like an upcoming role, or is it just him?
Don't know.
Taking a break before he books another job.
Don't know. I mean, I'm sure it would be a very convenient excuse saying, oh no, I'm just doing it for a role. Mm. Meanwhile, he's doing it because of roles.
Yeah. Can we talk about this as well? Just this is a quick story, which I find kind of hilarious. Every time you guys ever complain about me being such a picky eater, I'll make you remember this. So there's a guy on Twitter by the username @col_merchant, col_merchant, who went to a McDonald's, and there's now self-service machines being introduced in certain McDonald's, and he just ordered a cheeseburger, but was very specific with how he wanted his cheeseburger. So he placed this into the machine. One cheeseburger with no onion, no ketchup, no mustard, no pickles, no bun, and no meat patty. And what did he get in return? A slice of cheese.
What the hell is going on?
Which also doesn't make sense, though. So now he's like, he's so outraged, and he's tweeted about this. His tweet now has more than 24,000 retweets at people actually saying, dude, you deserve it. Like, what did you expect? Because what is a cheeseburger with no ketchup, onion, mustard, pickles, and bun, and meat patty?
Yeah. It's the slice of cheese.
It's hilarious. Well, McDonald's is yet to respond. But yeah, picky eaters unite. And now I feel so much better.
Yeah. Well, it is St. Patrick's Day weekend. If you are making any sort of big plans for the weekend, putting green stuff on your face, whatever, just don't make the mistake of putting the wrong flag on your face. Just go with green. It's safe. It's easy. And yeah, be safe and not so easy when you go out. So we've got Gareth's interview with Andre the Hilarious Hypnotist coming up, which is going to just go a little bit deeper into who Andre is. I know we all know him as the showman, the guy who's put together countless shows around the country. I mean, this guy's been going forever and ever. Mm-hmm. That's going to be very interesting. So to get into that, well, naturally, we're going to play some Ed Sheeran.
Naturally.
I mean, you know, Ed Sheeran's got like 1,000 tracks out at the moment. Oh, okay. And here he is singing an Irish song. You know, because it's what you can do when you're vocally talented. I'm determined to show the range of Ed Sheeran, Sia, whether you like it or not. And with this song. Catch you back after this. I've done, alas, it was to none but me. CliffCentral.com.